B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz. Felger here on location. Maz and Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Back to your phones as promised. Ben in Rhode Island on the players opting out. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
So I think Belichick is a brilliant coach, but I don't think he's clairvoyant. You know what I mean? He can't see the future. I think he just adapts well to change. I think that's what he's doing right now. He sees the writing on the wall. He knows that there's going to be a lot of space opening up if he encourages veteran players to opt out because they have more reasons than the young guys not to play. And he's just using this as a space for developing young talent. And I also heard you guys...
Hold on. So you just said he's not using anything, meaning he's not pushing these guys out to feature young talent, but because these guys have been pushed out, he will feature young talent.
Right.
And if he gets them to play well... not you, caller, but you out there will go, see, this was the master plan. And it's that's wrong. What it is him coaching his way out of a problem, which he's better at than anybody.
Oh, exactly.
But that doesn't mean it was the master plan. Go ahead.
No, exactly. I don't think it's the master plan. I just think he adapts well to change.
Yeah.
So when he faces adversity well. I also heard you talk about yesterday that if the season doesn't get played, the salary cap ends up getting pushed on to next year, so we're going to end up being in the same position we are next year if the season doesn't get played. What if he's encouraging enough veterans to stay out so that those young guys can fill those spots and still have the season?
No. Now you're treating it like a master plan again.
Exactly, right. He had it right the first time because it was the first thing he said. Bill adapts well to change. True. Right.
So look, they have a ton of room to play with next year, whether the caps go up or down. They're not going up, you know. But no matter how much they go down, they have a ton of room to play with to begin with. I think that Cannon and Hightower have played their last games as Patriots. So even though they're on the books for next year, I think they'll get cut or retire or go somewhere else and never see that money. Don't worry about the money. This year was a year they had to reset the roster, but the money's fine. And that's not the master plan. There is no master plan. Here's Dakota and Braintree on the Red Sox lineups. You like those lineups, Dakota?
So speaking of master plans, all right, you know how like when all these things, treatments come out for COVID and they say, wait, hold on, that's a study. It needs to be peer-reviewed by like someone else by a couple of times. Is there anybody peer-reviewing these optimal lineups that the computer's spitting out? Because, again, how in their right mind does any computer say that Christian Vasquez in Game 2, who was 10-14 lifetime against Alex Cobb, is not good for the lineup in Game 2? How does the computer say that?
They probably go beyond just that simple metric, Dakota. There's probably a spin rate, a swing path, launch angle.
The problem that night, Dakota, was that they ignored the computer and they went with a day game after night game thing with the catcher.
Tony, that's correct. So then throw everything out. Like this, if you're going to listen to the computer, go by the computer. Don't worry about the day night game in game two of a 60 game series. We're not in game 160, right? In him playing, it makes no sense. There's so much hypocrisy with this computer and on field and then spin rate, because the way I bet you this computer looks at it, it probably looks at, well, he's a curveball that throws it low in the zone, and this guy's a good curveball low in the zone hitter.
Yes.
But then wait a minute. If that's the case, then is Alex Cobb, you know, throwing the curveball low, and Vasquez is not a good low ball hitter, but he just happens to hit Alex Cobb good? Which one do you believe? This is why it makes no sense. Either stick with it, and then you can't say anything and second guess it, or you let Renicky say, I don't care, I'm going to use it as I feel and manage the game. It's a bunch of BS, and who even's to say that computer is even right of what they're doing? Right,
Dakota, paralysis by analysis.
Oh, totally.
How dare you question the computer?
And let me tell you, there's no way you can convince me that Renicky's behind this stuff. You know, Chaim Bloom and his nerds were just hired to take over the organization. And this Zach Scott guy, the head nerd who was here even before Bloom,
yep.
They love this guy. Henry is pants off for this guy. This is his kindred spirit nerd. So this is that's the organization. Chaim Bloom, the nerds he brought in, Zach Scott, his team of nerds that have been promoted throughout the years, that's the organization. Ron Renneke, he doesn't have the interim title anymore, but he might as well have. He is a stopgap. The guys making the decisions, Renneke is not making the decisions. It is the guys upstairs. And so whatever these lineups are, they are being spun out by the nerds upstairs. Sorry.
Oh, they totally are. And look, but Dakota's right about the inconsistencies of it, too. Like, because it is frustrating that in a 60-game season, you would sit there and say, nope, we got to rest this guy. Nope, we got, for what? You got off days built in. You're playing 60 games. It's the start of the year. Can you get out to a good start? Can you rest him when you're 6-2 instead of 2-6? Can you do that? Like, to me, I just think that they've approached it the wrong way. And this is why, I'm actually eager to see how this thing goes through the whole year. Because one of the appeals of this 60-game season is that the analytics were going to have relatively minimal impact because everything was a small sample. In fact, Zach Scott, who you referenced, I don't remember who it was, either the Athletic or one of the websites, one of the media outlets, did a story on him where he said, this is going to be a challenge because they're going to call me for answers this year and I don't really have any. To which my answer was good.
Good.
Let them play. Good. Let's see. Let's let them play the game. It's like they play it like a board game now.
Jesus. Max in Boston on the Manfred, Joe Kelly suspension. Go ahead, Max.
So, first of all, my thing with Joe Manfred is he should be like Vince McMahon right now. He has the ability to push around a bunch of buttons in this BS season that's never going to mean anything, and he's not doing it right. With regards to Joe Kelly, you basically are charging him and sentencing him to equivalent of a murder charge if he had hit the guy. He didn't hit either of them. He should get manslaughter equivalent charges as well. One game at most, especially because it's a 22-game equivalence. Like, I think the whole league's a joke right now. I think Joe Kelly, all right, you want to spend him one game? I get it. Now, I wish at the same time you could be, kind of going at the Astros and really messing with them for the whole season, but because COVID's going on, you can't really do that, so it kind of screws that storyline up. But I really think
so. There's a couple things, Max. I'm just going to cut you off. There's a couple things. One is the COVID thing. They don't want the players having bench clearing brawls because they don't want them spitting on each other.
It's a huge variable. So, right, you get all the social distancing, and the Astros are going to get, they have a bench clearing incident every series. Like, you can't have it.
Right. So I think the 8 games was as much a COVID thing and the fact that Joe Kelly with his nice swing bitch and the like that stuff, I think he invited the benches to clear. And I think that's for the 8 games, the COVID angle as much as anything. And also, even if there wasn't COVID, can we be honest? In these politically correct mamby-pamby times, these over-litigious times, no league is inviting more violence. They're just trying to get rid of it. And so what we want and we lust for and we wish for, even if there wasn't the pandemic, we'd be frustrated by even still. We would not get what we wanted, Murray.
Of course not, no, because no league is going to allow that kind of frontier justice. So that 8 games, all it is a preventative measure. So if you try to go with the Astros or anyone else again, this is now what the baseline is. You'll get 8 games, probably more.
And to the caller's first point, like I do think baseball's going to try some stuff here that's a little different. They got the man on second base. I'm waiting for them to get rid of the shift. The shift numbers keep going up. They're up over 50% now. Half the guys that come up is like they get the shifts. I'm waiting for them to get rid of that. They're talking about doing to make up some of these games for the Marlins and Phillies. They're talking about doing 7-inning doubleheaders. Love it. And you know what? If they were to make that change permanent, let's just say hypothetically, think of what that alone would do to the game. It would change the whole idea on how many times you'd face a pitcher in a game. You'd change pitch counts where a starting pitcher could give you a complete game now. It would change bullpen usage. It would change everything back. Everything back. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be better?
Mike in Reading on our Pastrnak conversation. Go ahead, Mike.
Felger, I know things have been a little bit slow during COVID for you, and you don't have a ton of stuff to complain about sports-wise, but lay off Pastrnak, will you?
Why?
I'm actually surprised. But why? Because he's a proven 40 to 50 goal scorer. Let me ask
so
you
what?
That. As a Bruins fan, how many of those that have you had in the last, say, 25 years?
No,
go ahead.
I like the goals. But how many guys in sports put up big numbers but don't win because they don't get it?
So I'm actually surprised. I'm not surprised that you did it. I'm surprised Mealy. I forget exactly what his comments were last week. You just don't see that a lot with guys with guaranteed team contracts that have stars on their team that go against them or something like that. It wasn't like he, you know, he abused anybody. He botched up his quarantine a little bit. And I really worry about, you know, driving a star out of town. Say that again. Sully, you say last year as if Pastrnak's 35 and he hasn't been a playoff performer his whole life. He had a bad playoff series. Also, so did Marchand and Bergeron, who I don't hear you touch at all. I mean, I'd just like you to, you know, we have a star and a goal scorer on our team, a 40-50 goal scorer.
We've got a star. We go easy on him. We have a star. Really? You think I'm going to do that? Do you know who you're calling? That you've just called Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. No sacred cows. Never mind the high-scoring guy who can't keep it together off the field and hasn't won anything.
Right.
I hate that guy.
Proven 40 goal scorer. He's also a proven hammerhead. Again, he sat there the other day and said, I don't know. Basically, like, I don't know why I had to sit out all that time. He still doesn't get it.
I'm astonished that the caller's not more agitated. If you appreciate the talent so much, which is fine, okay, fine, then you should be annoyed that he got lucky. He got lucky. He made a really bad decision that could have kept him out of the lineup for a long time and affected their chances to win. So he got lucky that he dodged the COVID.
And he was also a ghost in the biggest series of his life. And you're still not, like, mad at that. You're just going to excuse that because you can score 40 goals or more in the regular season. Yay.
Yeah, wee! He scores all these goals, yet in the Stanley Cup final, he scored one even-strength goal while taking a -7 and pussing out of just about every single interaction along the boards. Part of the reason why is because he smashed up his hand the last month of the season, screwing around on the streets of Boston. And the Pastrnak defense crew, to me, surprises me. He's got a lot of defenders out there. Like, they're afraid to criticize it. This is the exact guy you should be getting on. Super talented, super important to the team, who may or may not get it. Like, that's a guy you should be getting on. And if he starts winning cups, I'll be the first to say, strip naked, go streaking down the street, simultaneously shotgunning beers with beer funnels on your helmet. Like, do whatever you want if you start winning cups. Then you can be Patrick Kane. When you turtle and choke out in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in a series you should win, I'm sorry. We're going to be on you a little bit until that happens. And Marchand's on the list, too. We didn't give him a break. Back with more right after these words from our sponsors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I wonder how much guys who may not have been on the fence prior may go closer to the fence now when they look at the roster and say, okay, we just lost our best linebacker. That's a little messed up. We have no replacement at right tackle for Marcus Cannon necessarily. Chung's great. If Devin goes, our secondary is completely hosed. Jason as well. And then start to say, well, what am I showing up for with a rebuilding season and a new offensive line coach and a new quarterback and no offseason? Should I do it? And I really wonder if this is going to create kind of a landslide.
That was Tom Curran either yesterday or the day before. Thankfully for the Patriots, that landslide is yet to happen. Do you think the Pats are in the clear? No more opt-outs, Maz, or do you still think there's more coming?
No, I still think there's more coming. I'm not convinced it's over yet. I want to see sort of the fallout with the McCourties. I still want, if I'm David Andrews, and I know he's only been in the league, I think, what, 4 years? Five. I mean, he didn't play last year. So, I was looking up Andrews' earnings earlier. I think he's made $9 million.
Oh.
That's not bad, right?
Oh, good for him, yeah.
Yeah, but Is it enough to walk away forever? See, I don't know that it is. Not for a center. I mean,
no, he needs to find another job at some point.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough. I mean, you know, so the world just is an expensive place now, no matter where you are.
And he's young.
Right. And so, like, you know, I still think there's more coming. I wonder if Andrews had the contract history that some of these other guys have, would he play this year? I have to believe the answer is no.
So Kern is one of those who believes, though, that if Brady were here, it might be different. He wrote on NBC Sports Boston that, "I don't think it was a coincidence that with a gaggle of Patriots saying, 'See you in 2021 on Tuesday, that Rob Gronkowski was tweeting it was go time in Tampa. Is that true? Gronkowski tweeted go time yesterday? And he says, "I don't think Tom Brady had in mind the fact that after 20 seasons in New England, he's getting ready to chase a seventh ring with the Buccaneers while the Patriots are reeling from opt-outs and dealing with a full-on rebuild." Indeed, Robert, Brady tweeted back to Gronk, "Intentional or not, more than one Robert could take that to heart." So did that happen yesterday with all the Patriots losing all these players? Gronkowski says, go time. And Brady says, indeed, Robert. That went on online, too, yesterday?
A couple of so the 28th was when Gronk put the it's go time.
Oh,
and
I see.
Yeah, just a little while later, Brady, indeed it is, Robert. Yeah.
So he says, Kern says, more than one Robert could take that to heart, which leads to this simple question. If the Buccaneers rip it up in 2020 and the Patriots faceplant, isn't Brady being in one place and not the other the only common denominator? I believe it is, says Curran. Reductive? A little. Maybe Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, Danny Vitale, and the others all opt out even if Brady was still here. Some of them, Cannon for instance, almost certainly would. So Cannon, you know, probably given his, but Curran believes that those others, that this fullback, Danny Vitale, stays if Tom Brady's here. I mean, I don't know about that.
I mean,
I strongly disagree with that. Danny Vitale's a fringe roster player that it shouldn't matter if whether Masworth the quarterback or not. He's playing. Like, well, who is he to pick who his quarterback is? Who the hell is Danny Vitale?
Right.
Screw him. I mean, so, like, the rest of it to me speaks to, so if Tom Kern is saying that Tom Brady would be enough to get those guys to still play this year, then Bill Belichick is not, and Cam Newton is not. And he might be right. He might be right. But, you know, that should put into place how the team feels about those individuals, Belichick and Cam Newton. All right, back to your thoughts here. As promised, we've got longest order of wait. How about Brian and Chelsea on the Kelly suspension? Go ahead, Brian.
What's going on, guys? So I just think it's ridiculous how Joe Kelly got 8 games. But what's even more ridiculous is how Dodger fans are cheering like he's Sandy Koufax or something when he gave up a season-ending grand slam. And he was also on the team that cheated in 2018, Boston Red Sox. And also Mookie Betts is 5 for 28.
Brian, thank you. I agree 100%. Like, why Joe Kelly's a hero to anyone? The guy's a freaking clown. And he sucks. He sucks. And he's a clown. And he had a nice little run for you and helped win your championship. Great. But other than that, he's trying to take guys out to, you know, repay a grudge that he wasn't even a part of. And in fact, if you really want to balance it out, may have more in common with the Astros and Alex Cora than the Dodgers. So, like, look, I'm into the sideshow. I'm into that element of the brawls and the bench-clearing stuff and retribution and hatred. Like, I want it all. I embrace the violence. I like it. But Joe Kelly, give me a break. That guy's a doofus.
Oh, so look, I don't have as big a problem with Kelly as you do, okay? But Dodgers fans, the Dodgers fans part of it, oh, my God, the whining about that World Series. When's it going to stop? When's it going to stop? When are they going to stop whining about the World Series? They've been in the playoffs how many years in a row, and they haven't won. So are they sure it's because the Astros are stealing signs, or is because they're ballless? Which one is it? Because I wonder.
I'm with you on that. Like, even if it was totally played on the level, what would the Dodgers have done?
Choke.
Their pants.
Exactly. Yeah, choke.
That's because that's what they do. Brian in Fitchburg on the Brad Marchand Twitter thing. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Mike, love you, mean it, but I couldn't disagree with you more regarding the tweet by Matt Porter. He basically did the same thing that ESPN reporters do. They take the racial act of it, they throw the bomb in the middle, and they back off, and they just let people discuss. There is no reason to correlate the Tuukka Rask picture with the announcement that the Bruins made. And I'm glad Marchand went at him. I don't share the same sentiment about Marchand as you do. But yeah, I mean, something had to be said about that tweet because I was hugely irresponsible.
Okay, I just don't need Marchand. I just think he's another Twitter bitch. Like, just let it go and worry about the freaking hockey, you know? And how about this, Marchand? How about not jumping off the ice when your opponent is on an odd man rush in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals? How about that? How about doing that and let the tweet beef just be what it may, okay? And I didn't like the Matt Porter thing either. I thought it was kind of douchey what he did there. But so effing what? Every 30 seconds, someone is doing something douchey on Twitter. Why don't you just worry about the hockey and not about that crap? And, I you know, the stuff with Marchand starting to add up. I want to say to him, go win something. You know, he won as a rookie, and he was really big in 2011. He was very important. But pretty much since, when they've gotten in a big spot, he has not delivered. And I have seen more jackassery, like the stuff he did last year, or licking Callahan's face in the playoffs a couple years before. Never mind all the stuff of him trying to hurt people and take people out. I've had enough. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I want to see him win. I want to see him come through in the right spot. And that other stuff is adding up more to me now than the on-ice stuff. So go win again. Go win again and then go, you know, do your tweet beef all day long. Do whatever you want. When you win, you can do whatever you want. He's due to win again, is what I think. Do you want to follow up on that?
Oh, look, you're not going to get a huge complaint from me. I mean, look, Marchand, I looked it up. He did have 0 points in that series against the Blackhawks.
Over.
And I find it stunning that in this day and age that athletes can still get baited into putting stuff on Twitter. How many guys has it happened to where you look like a jackass 5 minutes later? Like, just stay out of there.
So Matt Porter is being just sort of, you know, whatever, this annoying, woke, you know, just the worst of it that we hate.
Yeah. Do you know by the way, now that you're talking about this, do you know that this happened between Patrick Chung and Tom Curran?
No.
Oh, yeah. There was a little thing on Twitter between Chung and Curran. I thought you knew that.
Yeah, so based on that whole article that you were referencing at the beginning of this segment, Patrick Chung mentions Tom Curran. Damn, Mr. Curran, I say this with love. You sound like an idiot. Doesn't hurt the friendship. You're not in the doghouse, but don't let your job corrupt your brain, man. You know better than that. Blah.
But that's different. I still hate it, but it's different. It's like Pat Chung's not going to the Stanley Cup playoffs right now and getting ready to play games to atone for one of the biggest choke jobs we've seen in town in years. And it's not this sort of passive-aggressive thing back and forth that's political. Like, it's the worst of the worst. It is. But how about, like I said before, you see a piece of crap on the sidewalk, a piece of dog crap on the sidewalk, are you going to step in it? Why don't you just step over it and get on with your day and forget you ever saw it? I mean, seriously.
Or you could pick it up and throw it away with a poop bag.
Or you could do that. You keep saying that, right? You could also discard it, drop it in the trash, and forget about it. But all you folks do on Twitter is pick it up and throw it back at each other. And so it's like, I don't know. I just have no use for it. I have no use for it. And Marchand's comments are like, you know, Tukes was given the hat by a friend he wore in an interview prior to the statement being released. That's okay for him to support a friend and wear a hat. It doesn't change the fact that we all stand united in trying to end racism and part of that solution, and Tukes is part of that. He's on board with this, as all of us are. I responded to that because we felt we wanted to be a part of the solution. Doing that with what Matt was trying to do was trying to create a buzz. We feel, oh, just get off the freaking internet, dude. Like, why are you wasting your time with this?
I like it. Standing up for a teammate.
Why don't you just let Porter's douchiness stand on its own?
Now you gotta
make
him
pay. It's a douchey little thing to do. Well, the world will make him pay because anything that's put on Twitter then gets called out by the other side. And so why do you got to get involved in that? Marchand needs to do it? Isn't the whole world doing it? Isn't the whole world picking up the dog feces on the sidewalk on Twitter
crap.
And throwing it at each other?
Dog crap.
Right? I mean, that's all you do. That's all the world has become, is you pick up each other's dog feces and throw it at each other on Twitter.
Dark
so
crap.
The world doesn't need, the dog doesn't need Marchand to do that because someone's going to be there, Murray, to do it.
Nobody calls it dog feces. Dog crap.
No one, I don't think anyone, looked at that hat and said, oh, Tukes, you don't believe Black Lives Matter. You know, they said, like, wait, no, we're about to start playing hockey games, and we don't want you to drop feces in your pants. Can you, Tuca, please, just not choke this time? And can we focus on not choking on the ice and leave all the feces tossing on Twitter
crap.
To the feces tossers? You know what I mean?
You know, crap your pants is what you mean to say. Crap.
Oh, my God. turn the phone off.
I want to know the backstory between Marchand and Porter. There's got to be something there because Marchand was ready to launch.
Matt Porter's never. I don't think he's written any. I can't remember any criticisms coming from him whatsoever.
I don't know. There's something there. There's got to be something there. That seemed pretty. That reaction was pretty aggressive.
Well, Marchand's got a problem with everyone. So that's the thing. Marchand's got a problem with everyone because he's got a schnoz in everyone's business and everyone's Twitter feed. It's like, turn off the phone, dude. Turn off the phone. And this time, when there's an odd man rush against you in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, stay on the ice. Stay on the ice and cover your man. It's about the only thing I care about.
Next time, just step over the dog crap and keep moving.
Or pick it up and throw it away and do us all a favor.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fair point by you, Matt.
Solve the problem for the world. Don't leave it there for someone else to step in.
Here comes Murray's update, and we're back with one more segment of your wonderful phone calls and our tremendous takes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, I was never sick, so I don't think I've done anything wrong. You know, obviously, it's a tough, tough bounce there. And unfortunately, happened what happened, and I had to miss some time. You know, obviously, the protocol is to stay in quarantine, so unfortunately, I had to be locked down at home for a while. You know, there's nothing I can control. Obviously, I take full responsibility for my actions, and I'm sorry, but how I said, I'm finally back, and I feel good out there, and can't wait to be back with the boys.
The other day, taking responsibility, but not really. It's all a long way of saying, Bruins fans, it's okay to put some pressure on these guys. They should get some pressure. They should have won last year. And they've got a real good chance to win again this year. So, are they going to do the right things? Are they going to be focused? Or are we going to be, running around missing quarantines or getting engaged with tweet beefs with reporters over nonsense? What are we going to do? And so, it's okay to get on these guys. Bruins are back. Bruins are back. You'll hear them tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub, 7 o'clock. I think they're going to televise this puppy as well. Exhibition, Bruins, Blue Jackets. Their only tune-up until the games start for real on Sunday. So catch it for that. And here we go. Sports continues to return. Despite all the positive tests, despite all the setbacks, despite all the stuff you hear about this guy opting out, that guy testing positive, this team getting shut down, that facility getting shut down, we're teetering, we're not going to make it. Despite all that, the games are being played. The leagues are back and sports are back. And I think people sort of lose sight of that. Despite all this stuff, it's still happening. And here comes hockey. So I'll be looking forward to listening and watching that game tonight. Let's come back with a couple hockey calls. Tommy and Lynn on Pastrnak. Go ahead, Tommy.
Come on, Felger. Leave Pastrnak alone. What's your problem with him, huh? What's your problem? Murray, I want you to come to the Italian Club in Lynn and have some sausages tonight and some burgers, all right?
I'm good, okay. But thank you.
Well, Tommy, did you sit outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, fun.
Oh, no, that's even better.
Yeah, that's a good
come for the
pitch.
Burgers and the COVID.
All right. Now, why would he invite you to the Italian thing, Murray? Are you Italian?
Half, yeah.
Oh, you are? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right, never mind.
James in Utah on the Bruins. Hi, James.
Hey, buddy. So, I think the no crowds is going to help Tuukka Rask, first of all. And then the other thing is Montreal scares me because I think Claude doesn't have the patience for the young players. And so if they screw up, he just won't put them on the ice.
Well,
what do you guys
James,
think?
Yeah, we're sort of past the Claude thing. But on Tuukka Rask, Murray, do you think the empty buildings help or hurt Tuukka Rask?
Yeah, I mean, I think they will to a point, but then again, when it's truly nut cutting time and it's game seven of the Stanley Cup final, whether there's fans, it's empty, there's just a couple of kernels of popcorn left over from last season in Toronto, he's still going to find a way to crap his pants.
Yeah, I would tell you that in the playoffs, if it's like a deciding game, it depends whether you're up or down 1-0.
Because,
like, you know, again, if you're home and the other team scores, the air comes out of the building, man.
Right, you don't want to be home.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I could see that helping him out a little bit in that game.
Yeah, maybe. But if it's a Game 7 Stanley Cup final situation just like it was last year, so the fans, like, you know, that first goal goes in and it's 2-0, you can feel the tightness. So it's a feel thing. This time, what's going to be going through his head? Don't screw up, don't screw up, don't screw up, don't screw up, don't screw up. And then, oh, a goal goes in, it was softy, and the game's over. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. Fans or not, no. I still fully expect him to fail again. I'm never falling for the Tuca tail, banana in the tailpipe ever again.
Neil and Lynn on Belichick's plan. What is it, Neil?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I think he really is setting us up so they're going to take a fall, but he's not going to take out, and he's going to say he's sick or someone in his family is going to be sick, and he's not going to be there. It's Josh, and Josh is going to go like one or two wins.
I see. So the master plan, Matt, is to set up a totally suckbag team. Bill's going to opt out himself.
It doesn't go on his record.
Leaving Josh to go 2-14. Josh tanks for Trevor. Bill, his record and winning percentage, and Chula Chase remains relatively unscathed. Bill steps back in to a highly drafted quarterback, and it's all on Josh McDaniels and Cam Newton. Now that's a plan.
Yeah, this is why Belichick let McDaniels come back from Indianapolis, because he knew the pandemic was coming and he needed a patsy.
Zach and Milford, your thoughts on these Red Sox lineups. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, Red Sox lineups. The Red Sox got two wins, and you know how many times Bogaerts has pinch hit this year? That'd be twice, because he hasn't been in the starting lineup twice. Ron Ronicky couldn't count his balls and get the same number twice. This organization is gutless. This is awful, Anthony and Michael. I can't do it.
Okay, Zach. It's just not Ronicky. I'm sorry. The substitute teacher is not making the calls on the syllabus. He is the substitute teacher. They've turned the organization over to all these nerds, and there is no way. The nerds are saying one thing, and Renicki's saying another. He's following their leads. I'm sorry.
He has to be.
Well, yeah, he's an old-school baseball guy, right? And so old-school baseball guys use their gut. They use their eyes. And these nerds use computations and math. And there's zero reason. So one of the things that just always stands out to me is, like, last night, again, Andrew Benintendi has zero, shot that being at the top of that lineup. But there he was again. It doesn't work. I know they won that game, but Andrew Benintendi has no business being at the top of that lineup.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, again, I have a hard time picking on Renicki for anything right now.
Right.
I do, because first of all, the circumstances put the guy in an impossible spot, and that was going to be true with or without the pandemic. Then you add that thing on top of it. The fact that you have a GM and a whole analytics, you know, revolution going on in the organization again, like the whole thing, he's got no shot. He's got no shot.
Renicki is what he is. He is what he is. They knew it when they came, and he's there just to do what he's doing, which is to take the three-ring binders and then, you know, do what they say. Sean in Framingham. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, guys. You guys have been awesome all quarantine. If eight games for a premeditated ear hole shot is totally warranted. If you saw Bart Scott clothesline Brady after Spygate, Patriots fans would be calling for his head. You're going to see an Astro get conniglio'd for a practice that was league-wide.
So, Sean, I mean, I agree you can't be throwing at guys' heads. Murray, you don't even think he was throwing it at Bregman's head?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Joe Kelly mostly sucks and he caught lightning in a bottle in 2018 on the cheating Red Sox, but he had enough control there to, like, go above his head. It's not as over. People are being a little bit too overdramatic about this thing.
I always think that's a, you know, I'm coming up and in, and sometimes they lose it. And so do I think he was throwing at his head? No. Do I think he got too close to the head? Yeah.
Well, and so, guy, I mean, he doesn't know where it's going.
Exactly.
He's 100 miles an hour. So he should never come anywhere. He should never throw at someone's shoulder, you know? And so, like, I don't trust Joe Kelly. I want to see the brawl. So, like, it disappoints me that it's so harsh and no one's going to go after the Astros again. So I'm conflicted on this. But I got no quarter for Joe Kelly whatsoever. None. He deserves everything that he's gotten. We've got Ed in Worcester on the Patriots. Hi, Edward.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Long time, first time.
Okay, man.
And I wanted to comment on Hightower. Do you guys think that he opted out because he doesn't have very much faith in Belichick or Cam Newton?
So something like that. Something I wouldn't put it like that, but something like that. If Tom Brady was enough or would have been enough to get Mayo to come back. A lot of people think this, that Brady would have been enough to get Mayo to come back.
Hightower, you mean?
I'm sorry, Hightower. Why did I say Mayo? Brady would have been enough for Dante Hightower to return. Well, if that's the way you feel, then ultimately, logically, what we say then is that Cam Newton and Bill Belichick were not. The pairing of Cam Newton and Bill Belichick, Dante Hightower did not believe in. Like, right? I mean, I'm overstating that a little, but it's just logical. If he would have come back for Brady, that means he's not coming back for Belichick Newton. He doesn't think it's good enough. And he might be right. He might be right. But that's disappointing to me a little bit, because I think with Cam Newton, certainly, but just with Bill Belichick alone and you, Dante Hightower, in the middle of that defense, and Chung back there and the McCourty's back there, that's good enough to win the division. Now you're in the playoffs and you're hosting a game. That's not good enough for you? Have the players gotten spoiled along with the fans, Maz? Is that something worth asking?
Well, there might be a little bit of that, yeah. Again, I mean, if you say it's, you know, they've made their money, they've won, and that they are, you know, more apt now to say, you know what, that's it, I'm done, I'm checking out. Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
so, look, I'll tell you, one of the things...
We're just going to win the division. Like, I don't need to just win the division. Like, maybe the players have gotten spoiled, too.
Yeah, I don't rule that out. And again, you know, one of the things that really surprised me, honestly, with Hightower and Chung was the loyalty factor. Like... They are Belichick guys. And as you pointed out, Chung got a new contract. Chung's contract got redone. They gave him money. And a couple months later, he says, by the way, I'm not playing. Like, what? Like, those are big-time sort of Belichick guys. And for Hightower, I told you, I was blindsided. Absolutely blindsided. I didn't see it coming.
Okay, folks, final word comes your way next.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. That would
nobody.
Be nobody.
Nobody.
And, hey, before we actually get to what Jimmy pulled for audio, Mike, why not another plug for what you got going on to benefit Jake Kennedy?
Thank you. I was going to do that, of course. Jake Kennedy's GoFundMe page, really the GoFundMe page for Jake Kennedy's family. Jake Kennedy, the founder and inspiration of Christmas in the City, stricken with ALS. There's a GoFundMe account set up to try and help the Kennedy family manage his illness, this devastating, insidious illness that we all know of by now. So you know everything that's involved and the resources that it takes to care for someone. And if anyone deserves our care, it's Jake Kennedy and his family. So please go to the Jake Kennedy GoFundMe page if you want to just donate. But if you want a little something extra, we are auctioning off a private Zoom call with myself, and Maz has offered his services as well. You get us on our own in private to do whatever you want. And I'd like, again, if you have an office gathering that you want to entertain for a lunch, or I don't know, you got a kid who has a birthday party or has got a bunch of friends who are sports fans, you want a private session with Felger and Maz, whatever you want. That's sort of the idea. We can't do in-person things because of the pandemic, so this is what we came up with. I highly encourage you and would appreciate if you get in on the bidding. You go to 98.5thesportshub.com or christmasinthecity.org. Go to our website or the Christmas in the City website to bid. There are three bids right now that are over $1,000. We're hoping to bump that up. We're going to take the top three highest bidders and do those private Zoom calls for a date of your choosing. So please, we're going to close the bidding tomorrow at 6, so you have 24 more hours to get in on this and help Jake Kennedy and his family. So please do help us out.
Yeah, and if you know you want me to jump in on that too, I'd be more than happy to. If
all
people
right.
want stupid voices or whatever. I mean, Lord knows I'm available.
The whole show.
Yeah,
we got the whole shebang.
So, all right, with that, Jimmy pulled some audio from Cameo. In case you didn't know the people, Tony Maz, available to you on Cameo. Greetings, birthday messages, and things like this.
Derek, Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your brother Sean reached out because he told me, apparently he calls you D. Or maybe he just put that in the message, and it's actually Derek that he calls you. But Derek, he says that you just got a new cat, or you got a cat when you were living in West Roxbury. Let me back up. You got a cat when you two were living together in West Roxbury, and he always gave you for that. Because, I mean, this sounds logical to me. You get a cat, you're a cat guy. He says no, or he claims that you say no, you're a dog guy. But I don't understand why a dog guy would get a cat. Now, me, I'm a dog guy. I actually have a dog. So I don't have a dog and call myself a cat guy. You get the difference? Also, a few months ago, he claims, this was a while back now. Now, a few months ago, you and your fiance got a pet. What do you think he got? A cat! So now, dude, the first time, okay, fine. I still think a dog guy gets a dog, not a cat. But I'll give you the latitude of one. But two for two? Two cats? Dude, the evidence is clear. You lose in court. Okay, you lose in court big time. So, Derek the Cat Guy, thank you for watching and listening. Say hi to Sean. Be well. Stay safe. All right, take care. I appreciate you guys reaching out. Bye bye.
District Attorney Tony Maz there.
Well, yeah, I use the material they give me, Murray. What can I tell you?
The poor guy got harangued.
I've said worse. Believe me, that's a tip of the iceberg. You don't know the half of it.
So wasn't available, unfortunately, publicly.
Yeah, find Maz, myself, and Zoe, and many the others Fuppets. On Cameo. Yeah, the Fuppets as well.
Fuppets, that's right. Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We got...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.